You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. I've got someone special on today. Her name is Emily King. She's a Grammy-nominated musician, and I love her because she's literally made the soundtrack to my love life. You make lots of different kinds of songs. I mean, you make a lot of love songs, beautiful love songs.
Thank you.
Two of which are like, oh, of course, two of which are time capsule love songs for my relationship with my husband. Like if we hear them, this is like, it goes back to summer 2015 when we started dating.
Oh.
Yeah. One of them is Decisions, which you made with Taylor McFerrin.
Yes.
And the other one is Distance.
Oh.
Because he used to work overnights, and so we didn't always get to see each other.
Oh, that's sweet.
Even though it wasn't that much distance. Lived maybe like 20-minute walk away from my apartment.
But that must have felt like forever because you were in love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when I hear those two songs, it's like I'm going right back. Like immediately right back.
I'm so happy. That's awesome.
Emily King is prolific when it comes to love songs. For the past 15 years of her career, she's been churning out the ballads while keeping her own love life very private. But all that has been turned upside down. And now she's squarely in breakup territory, personally and professionally. She's breaking her silence about the end of her relationship, and she's put it to music in her new album titled Special Occasion.
The process that I was going through and still I'm going through, which is a breakup of a long, long-term relationship. And so I would mark that as the special occasion.
I have a theory that when you're going through a breakup, it's actually kind of satisfying to talk about the breakup and turn it over, look at it in new ways. But at a certain point, your friends are talked out and ready for you to move on, even if you aren't. And for those times, breakup songs can be the last companions to hold you as you process. Even when you're not going through a breakup, the melancholy of breakup music is just so good. And I think a lot of you out there, broken up with or not, are going to get in your feels about this conversation. Emily King, welcome to It's Been a Minute.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Brittany.
Hi. It's absolutely our pleasure. So let's get into it. You mentioned you're going through a breakup right now, and this album is the final album that you made with your producer, Jeremy Most, who you also were in a relationship with for 5 years.
14 years.
Wait, 14 years?
I know.
That's because we fact checked that.
Oh my God. Well, no, that I'm sure you did, but it was very much a private relationship. So there's no facts about it, except what I'm sweating bullets even just talking to you about it, because we always were very private. The music is our language that we speak with each other. So,
as this is the last album for the time being that y'all have collaborated on, it kind of is a breakup album, and lyrically that is coming through. But it's also different than other breakup albums. This album feels like one of the first conscious uncoupling albums that I've heard. Not in the, you know, I'm better off without you, or it's your fault, you did this, you hurt me deeply way. But it feels like a very level-headed, deeply felt processing of a relationship.
Well, it's nice to hear you say that. There's absolutely no animosity. And in fact, I don't consider it a breakup album because I don't want to break up. I don't know. It's more of like a reimagining of a relationship, or a repackaging of a relationship. Because if it's up to me, we just keep going and keep making music and keep being best friends. Everything is changing. People growing apart. That's when I get to thinking.
I might be losing your heart. timeline-wise, was this music a way of processing this reimagining of your relationship, or was it kind of like the production and the reimagining kind of happened at the same time?
They were very much intertwined. The evolution of things were happening while we were creating. And so there were long moments of lulls in space and not being able to talk to each other, and then coming back together and saying, well, let's just finish it because this is the best thing that we're able to do.
I know what I did. Won't you come back home now?
My history is that my parents, when I was a kid, were singing together as a band. They were a duo, a jazz duo, and that's how they made their bread and butter. And when they stopped being in a relationship together, they disbanded the music. And that was the hardest thing for my brother and I, was to, you know, oh, you guys aren't doing shows together anymore. Now I see myself repeating history.
I wonder, like, did your mom have lessons for you on how to move through this kind of creative and emotional breakup or reimagining?
Yeah.
Because as you brought up, like, there's some similarities.
One of the things I appreciate the most about my parents is that they've always been able to freely discuss how they're feeling in that moment. We don't like to harbor things for a long period of time, for better or worse. Just like spit it out and say how you feel.
It's nice. I feel like it's the opposite of how so many people feel with their parents, where it's like, they don't get that kind of honesty. That's amazing that you say she's so emotionally available to you.
She is. And it's, you know, there's the honesty and then there's the aftermath of honesty. That's kind of how I felt about this record. It's like, okay, well, now I know what my heart needs from me. Great. So let's celebrate. But then the next day, it's like a hangover, honesty hangover. How do I work through this now that I've made this decision? Yeah, it's very much a work in progress. I was calling mom too much.
No such thing.
I was like hamster wheel because you just keep saying the same things. And she's sort of the reinforcer, and she's always been very definite about her feelings. Even when I was a kid, no meant no. And so in this situation, she, you know, held her opinion on things, and it was helpful for me because you just get lost in memories, the good times and nostalgia and things like that.
You want to sit in
it. Yeah. You're like, well, why?
Yeah.
But what about that? We made pancakes and we went there and that was a nice day. And what, you know, well, oh, that's nice and everything. But oh, what about all this other stuff that you said you want, but you don't have? So it's nice to have people who have those, the perspective that you don't have.
Coming up, Emily tells us how she decides when to write versus when to feel. You know, going back to the idea of this album really honoring this relationship, even though the romantic form of it has closed, your song False Start, it does not feel like a kiss off. It's acknowledging that you relied on this other person.
Back the way I came, false start.
But also the title False Start, it's implied in there, this person is not the one, quote unquote. It's a great title for a song, by the way.
You.
But I wonder, what were you reading or listening to or talking about while you were in the period of creating this album, even that song specifically, to get to this like emotional space where it's like acknowledging the end of something while also respecting what was.
Thank you for talking about False Start, because that's one of my favorites. It feels like I'm connecting with a true moment whenever I sing that song. I had the verses for a couple of years. I had that, I get lost, and when I do, that part. That song just wrote itself.
It's a false start. Oh,
had a window of opportunity where I had acted on the decision to trust myself. But there was a point where that began to hurt. So I turned around and I went back to the comfort zone. And while I was in this comfort zone, I was having these painful spiritual moments. What I was trying to tap into was songwriters who dare to be honest in a sort of bold way that might offend the people around them because they know what they're talking about. It's like a comedian who's trying not to keep his best jokes from being heard because he doesn't want to offend his uncle or his, you know, his elementary school teacher.
You know, this wasn't just a personal breakup, but to a certain degree, at least currently, like it's a creative breakup as well. You've talked in the past about how you and your producer and former partner, Jeremy Most, would co-parent songs. And now that you're kind of, you know, when you end a relationship and you fill out those edges of yourself again.
I love that.
You can put that in a song. Ooh, I'll let you have
that.
It.
Fill out the edges of yourself. I love the visual. I'm just spreading out.
Sketching it, exactly. But I wonder, what have you discovered about yourself creatively, you know, since the end of that relationship?
Well, I was terrified to go on tour without him. He's not missed a show for 14 years. And absolutely wonderful band leader and a perfectionist. It answered a question that I had. It was like, can I do it? Can I do this? I think I can do it with the right team and just trusting that I have the ability to move forward. They made it so easy because they're just brilliant musicians. I know it sounds silly because I've been doing shows for my whole life, but yeah, once one major ingredient leaves the recipe, you're just will this still taste good? I don't know. And turns out you can substitute one for the other. Put a little bit more sugar in it. That's my answer to everything. I'm really grateful for this tour. It gave me a lot of confidence that I didn't have.
It's so interesting, like, while you have created essentially like soundtracks to so many people's romantic lives, you've been very private about your personal life in that way up until this album. I wonder what made you want to keep your privacy for so long, but also what changed? You definitely seem more open to sharing.
Before, I think the albums were not representative of my relationship necessarily. They were just like bodies of music that had moments of self-reflection. There was no tragedy. You know, everything was pretty smooth sailing. And I love my privacy. I really appreciate it. And I think I was asked not long ago in an interview about the situation, and I almost surprised myself just talking about it and instantly felt guilty about it. And I don't enjoy the feeling ashamed about being honest. Maybe it's a plea as well, because, you know, it's like I said, it's still in the thick of things, but I think it was an accident that I'm talking so much about it. And now I can't stop. So I apologize in advance.
No.
I want him to know how much I love him. And I want that to be on record. I appreciate listening to other people who are unguarded. And I've never been that person, I don't think. So I'm maybe just trying something new.
I think we all know how much it benefits us to understand that other people are going through the same things that we are. It's early summer. There's definitely people who are going through breakups.
Oh, man.
Right now.
Oh, man. My heart goes out.
I have broken up twice on Memorial Day weekend in my life. So, like, definitely.
It's too long of a weekend. They should just, you know.
It's too long of a weekend.
Too many options.
there's going to be people who, who are hearing you today are going to be listening to this conversation, and this is going to touch them. There's so much in the lyrics from this album that speak to what it sounds like is, you know, your current emotional state. How do you decide what hurt goes in the album and what stays in your journal?
Ooh. Wow. Wow. I think it depends on how lazy I am that day. If I decide to, you know, clean the house or actively write a song. I was sorry for myself and my feeling. Is it just enough where I can still pick up the guitar?
I know that times have been tough and everything's changing. The world just spins around.
There's a song on the record called Easy.
We kept going in circles, running from feelings we didn't know how to feel.
And I was in tears, and it was so painful that instead of eating ice cream, I sang. So I just sang because I think singing is soothing. You don't have to be a professional to feel the effects of singing. It's healthy, I think. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that song just to get through that moment. Maybe I'm a little superstitious. If I'm in a relationship, I don't like to tell people. I've been in situations in life where you, the minute you start to celebrate, life is like, oh, okay, let's flip it on you. See how you do, you know, literally dropped my birthday cake as I was blowing out the candles. So
no.
So
you really
did it. And I put it on Instagram. But if it makes you happy, why not?
I wonder, to you, what song on the album best embodies your emotional growth and change?
The songs that project out into the future of who I want to be. And I'm not necessarily feeling that way, but like this year, you know, that's a projection of, oh, this is who I want to be.
This year's gonna be about me. Never will I have another reason to doubt me this year. This year.
Instead of looking for other people to satisfy me, what maybe I can try to satisfy me first, and then they're off the hook. Just trying to light myself up inside to keep going.
Emily, I have a feeling that this album is going to be doing the same for a lot of other people. Thank you so much. It was so great to have you on to talk about this album today. It was just great.
Thank you so much, Brittany.
Emily King's new album, titled Special Occasion, is out now.
Hey, Brittany, this is Drew from DC. I wanted to see if you're watching the latest season of The Ultimatum on Netflix. And if so, what are your thoughts on Vanessa? Curious to hear what you think. Thanks.
First of all, Drew, thank you so much for calling in and asking the right question, because I absolutely am watching the newest season of The Ultimatum on Netflix, aka The Ultimatum Queer Love. It is so good. And Vanessa, I think, as much as she annoys me on a personal level because of her insistence that she is the main character in the movie of everybody else's life, as much as she will do literally anything for attention and secretly, or not so secretly rather, believes that literally everyone is in love with her, she makes perfect reality TV villainy. I feel like Vanessa is just the definition of that reality TV gal that you love to hate, you hate to love, but you have to also admit that the show doesn't work without her. So Vanessa, don't want to know you, but love having you. Thank you once again to Drew from DC. And to all of you listening, I want to know what you want to talk about too. Anything from the biggest pop culture story of the week to the newest bangers to the TV show everyone is talking about. If there's something everyone in your world is going on about, record a quick voice memo with your first name, location, and the topic, and send it to ibam@npr.org. That's ibam@npr.org. I cannot wait to hear what you want to talk about. This episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by
Barton Girdwood,
Alexis Williams,
Liam McBain,
Corey Antonio Rose.
Our editor is
Jessica Plachek.
Engineering support came from
Jaces.
Our executive producer is
Verilyn Williams.
Our VP of programming is
Yolanda Sanguini.
Our senior VP of programming is
Anya Grundman.
All right, that's all for this episode of It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. Talk soon.